It is the deep, deep love of God in Christ that we are exploring as we continue our journey through John here on Abounding Grace. Welcome to the program. We're back in John 13, verses 18 through 28, rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. That is what we are seeing, the love of Christ towards the disciples, and you and I as well. Make it a point to join us today as we explore this marvelous passage together. It's the foundational entrance, if you will, into the upper room discourse. And it all starts with Jesus letting his disciples know just exactly what's going to happen and why. Here's Pastor Chris, today's program.
Jesus is explaining for them how everything's going to go ahead of time. In his hand are all future events. I mean, think of you want to talk about John showing us the divinity of the Son. Here is the eternal Son of God predicting in as a prophet the future. That's a big thing to do, according to the Old Testament. It's amazing. And he's claiming scripture, and he's saying, all of that is about to be fulfilled with me. This is why I said the foot washing event was more significant than we realize. The truth of John 13 is really here, that before anything is about to transpire, Jesus had taken the initiative of choosing them and now washing them. And we considered last time, it's not just the literal washing of the feet. Think of what he's about to say to them in John 15. Listen to this phrase, and then I think it comes together. Already, you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. That's a big verse in the Gospel of John. Again, we like the physical act of washing feet. Jesus applies it to the word. He says the actual accomplishing of washing you is done by the word that's spoken to you. I remember in Ephesians 5, Christ sanctifies his church, having cleansed her by what? The washing of water by the word. Do you know that the word has a purifying effect in the lives of those who receive it by faith? You know, right now you're actually getting a bath. Yeah, I get to give you a bath today. I never thought of the ministry that way. Some of you need it. You're getting a big washing right now. Did you know that? That's why I always say it's so sad when people stay away from church, because this is the washing they need. This is the washing you need every week to get through the week. This is the washing God has put in place to wash your feet from the defilement of everywhere you walked this week. And I think the point is that now we have some indication of what the actual washing is in the following section of John 13, that he washed them with the prophetic word. It's going to be a big issue for Peter, he addresses in 1 Peter. So watch them get a big bath right now. He quotes Psalm 41, and then he says, now I tell you, before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am. You need to take off the he. We've been looking at this in John the whole way. Now you're going to know that I am. How so? He says, most assured, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me. He who receives me receives him who sent me. Notice what the word was. When these terrible events begin to happen in life, and they begin to be fulfilled according to plan, as you study the scriptures, my word that has cleansed you will be your guide. You will be tempted in this life to give up. You will be tempted to fall, that everything's spiraling out of control. You will be tempted to think, but the word that I'm speaking to you as a prophet before it happens will have the effect on that intended day when the Spirit comes to remember who it was that came among you and who prophesied all this. I am. Nothing of what is happening will change the fact that I've sent you and that the mission I've given you is coming to pass. Now, if you let that set in for a minute, that's a remarkable moment, that what he has just accomplished by his word. It's amazing, beloved. So much is happening. You know, you study the scriptures, and this has always been the repeated truth in scripture. Remember when God was about to destroy Sodom? You know, he takes down nations. Read Job 12, where he says this. He raises up nations and then destroys them. He makes their wise people stagger like drunken people. When God was about to destroy Sodom, remember what happened? He came to Abraham and there was a little dialogue ahead of time. Should we tell him about what we are about to do? And God told Abraham what he was about to do, because Abraham was a friend of God. Wait till we get to John 15. This is going to be beautiful when Jesus does the same thing again. And the point is, do you see what his word does for us? The living and active and abiding word is the continual washing that gives us the certainty to get through life. I think this is what the heart of what Jesus was saying to Peter at the end of the book when he said, your feet used to take you where you wanted to go. Now your feet are going to go where I take you. You don't realize the value of this, but your minds and lives are constantly washed with the washing of water by the word. Have you ever stopped and thought about how that's preserved you through this life to this day? You always wonder, where's the power of the Christian life, and why do I feel so powerless, and why do I feel... You don't even realize how much you've been kept by the power of this word. You're here right now. When in your own strength, you wouldn't have been able to make it. I was thinking of Lord's Day 10 in the Heidelberg on Providence. What does it benefit us to know that God has created all things and still upholds them? Well, how does that benefit you to know that God is upholding everything, and that God created everything and upholds things, and in Providence directs all things according to plan? How does that benefit you? And it says we can be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity. But it was this that struck me. And with a view to the future, we can have a firm confidence in our faithful God and Father, that no creature shall separate us from his love, for all creatures are so completely in his hand that without his will, this is Judas, they cannot so much as move. Isn't that interesting? Jesus is giving permission to Satan and Judas to go accomplish this. Now you can do it, but you do it quickly. That's how in control he is of everything. It's chilling. So you start to think about this and what he's done. What is the washing of the water by the word done? They're already clean, be anticipated by the death on the cross and the forgiveness and justification and being right with God. But he's constantly washing them with the water of the word to keep them through all of the twists and turns of this. In the hour of trial, in the hour of difficulty, there's only one thing that's going to keep you, and it is the word that's been spoken to you. That's it. That's it. It is the word that's been spoken to you by the power of the Spirit who upholds that word in you that keeps you through the messes that come. They are going to watch him beaten. They're going to watch him punched in the face. They are going to watch him flogged, humiliated. The king that they loved, they believed, is the Son of God. They will see him nailed to a cross, all of which was foretold by the word. And by the betrayal of one of them, he is going to die. See what he's doing? He's preparing them with the word. He's keeping them with the word ahead of time. I love this. I think it's absolutely powerful. Because what if things got immensely disturbing, and what if things became upsetting and overwhelming to us? Can you imagine not having any prep for this? You've had prep your whole life for whatever is to come. You've had prep your whole life. God has trained you and taught you on his knee, if you will, for whatever is to come. And I think you saw that with Mary, that when the hour of distress came, she's pouring an alabaster flask over him, knowing exactly what has to happen. It's beautiful in the Gospel of John. And that's why I say it's so sad that so many stay away and have no perspective through this life, isn't it? Can you imagine heading to Palomar if you're going to die today and not have having any of this. Sad. Sad. So here we are. Leads to the present distress. When they heard this, read in verse 22, that they looked at one another and were absolutely perplexed. Ever feel perplexed listening to sermons? Especially if they're not very good at the moment to you, right? They're perplexed. It doesn't make a lot of sense at the moment. The word means they're at a total loss. What in the world? Inwardly, they're in dismay. They've come to the point of being overwhelmed. There's another emotion that they're experiencing at this moment. You remember from the other Gospels, Jesus said, one of you will betray me. And they do it here. All of them begin to go around. It's, Lord, is it I? Is it I? They directly asked him. And the text says they looked at each other. Could it be that I've made a profession? And could it be that I've been here my whole life with Jesus and I've walked with him and served him and find out that I'm going to do that to him? No way. Couldn't be. It's not me, is it, Lord? You're the fear in that. You're the fear in that. In fact, Peter, in verse 24, was leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. I still hold the traditional view that that's John himself. Some have challenged that. I believe it's John. Simon Peter, therefore, mentioned to him to ask who it was of whom he spoke. Then leaning back on Jesus' breast, he said to him, Lord, who is it? Who's going to do that? What does Jesus do? Jesus calms them as a prophet. Fulfilling the prophetic word, he takes their restless hearts and he says, he to whom I shall give the piece of bread when I've dipped it is the one. Having dipped the bread, he hands it right in front of them to Judas Iscariot. John heard that. Sure, John told them. They seem confused still. And then Jesus says, what you do, do quickly. And right then and there, Satan, who was in the room, enters Judas. Demon-possessed. Satan enters Judas to go do this. Perfectly at the volition and will of Judas, who wanted to do it. One of you, says Jesus, will do this. Why was he doing that? Scaring them? I think this raises that one of them, the issue that one of them would betray him. But notice what Jesus was doing. He was putting them through a time before all of it would come to pass of self-examination. If it was declared today here that one of our brothers would apostatize, and in fact, you know, 12 of us go in a room after service and the Lord declares to the 12 that one of us is going to do this and that it would have been better if you were never born. If you're at all a sensitive person, there's only two responses that are going to come from that. What are the responses that are going to come? One's going to be complete indifference if you're not a believer. Whatever. I don't care. What's the believer going to do? I hope that's not me. Is it me? It's exposed something, hasn't it? In all of the disciples, in all of the accounts, when this is recorded, all of them were concerned except Judas. I think this is the very moment and the test the disciples needed to face. Dependency on what? You see, this whole time Peter's been fighting. You're not going to wash me. You're not washing my feet. How about this? Get off your knees, Jesus. I'll wash you. Look at verse 36 of this section. Jesus said he's going away. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus said, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. You're going to be there. Peter said to him, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. What? You're going to die for me, says Jesus, really? You think that's what this is about? See, it's all about my serving. It's all about me giving something to you. Really? You think that's what this is? You think that's what Christianity is? You know what you're going to do tonight? You're going to go deny me three times when the rooster crows. Even if one denies you, everyone, I won't do it. A shocking statement. even if all your disciples abandon you, I'll never do that. And I think the pressing moment here is, do you understand how weak you are? Do you understand what you need? Do you understand that without his mercy and grace, your life will spiral down into a crash incident? I think later that's why Peter says, we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you would do really well to pay attention as a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. The entire situation is so dark that they're in right now. And don't you feel that way now? That's what we feel like. The betrayal is happening. There's no strength in themselves to uphold them. They can't uphold themselves. They don't understand like they should. And Jesus has washed them and is washing them with the word. Telling you that I want you to know you'll be there and that nothing is happening outside of this marvelous plan that I have put in place. When we feel that darkness caves in all around us, you should stop and you should say, you know what God's done for me my whole life? He's given me a beautiful message. And he's encouraged me all along the way with a word that's living and powerful. And he's preached to me his son. The Father has done that for me. And the promise that he's made is, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You too can have firm confidence looking to the future that I'm coming again. Hasn't he told you that? Imagine on that day when he finally comes, all this mockery, all this hatred, all of this laughing at him, all of this scoffing, and then we are vindicated right then and there, which is a purpose of his righteous judgment as we are laughed and ridiculed at in the earth. Now this leads to the final brief point here. There's one last thing that we shouldn't miss. Do you find it beautiful here that what is raised here is the reality of Christ's love for his sheep at this point? It's really beautiful, isn't it? Verse 31. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, that's Judas. Judas has left. He's taken the cue from Satan. He's gone to do this. Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified and God is glorified. If God is glorified to him, in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. It's here. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me. You will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come. And then this. Isn't this a big moment? A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also should love one another. It's a precept on his own example, isn't it? Everything that they have received was never dependent on their love for him. Everything that they received was a sovereign choice of God to love them, proven in the speaking of the word their whole life already. All what drove Christ to do this was a love that God had for you when you were never born, when you had never given one breath. He knew everything about you, everything you'd ever say, every stupid sin you'd ever do. He had loved you before any of it. And before you were even born, and before you ever spoke one word to God, Jesus is on the cross, impaled on the cross, paying for your sins specifically, thinking of you by name. What is new is not the commandment to love. What is new is that they've been taught love now by God himself, who's come down to him. He's the I am. What they are about to witness is love. He's endured everything. He suffered for us. He was betrayed for us. He's boldly bleeding for us. He's going to die for us, as we're going to study. And I love to tie the foot washing event here together. Jesus wants this to drive their purpose in this life. Now, if that were so easy to get, we wouldn't have to say it all the time. Do you know what I've done to you? What I've done to you? See the question? Do you know? Blessed are you if you do it. See how he's always taking his sacrificial love and training the disciples through it for their mission. That's why love has to be among us. I'm teaching you what love is. It's a love that will hold on to you to the end. It's a love that washes you. It's a love that cleanses you with the washing of water by the word that's spoken and preached to you. It's a love that washed you and cleansed you and went to the depth for you and went down to the sewer and pulled you out. You were in the sewer and I got you. Just as I've loved you, that's why I'm leaving you here. That you would love people who need my help too. By this, everyone's going to know you belong to me. By this, when you love one another that way. That's not macho enough for our times. You know that, right? Today, I almost feel like when you tell people to love one another, it has so much baggage and they roll their eyes and act like it. Hey, you know, we've got to be about engaging the culture. I'm so sick of that. I am so sick of that. Stop it. You want to engage the culture? Love one another. It's not rocket science. You'll engage the culture when you love. Is this too soft for us today? Then look at the cross. Tell me if that was soft. When Jesus, loving you to the end, died for you this way. He cleansed you with a washing of water by his word, told you everything you need to know, died for you, loving you to the end, that you would believe that he is your God and he came to you. I think it's appropriate to end with Jesus' word, isn't it? If you know these things, if you know what I've done to you, blessed are you if you do them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. What a glorious word, a prophetic word confirmed. Everything that's ever been spoken has come to pass. We would do well to hear it, for it has a washing effect on our lives. And for those, Lord, who don't want to receive it or who make excuses not to, we pity them. We have compassion on them, for they need to be fed. They need to be washed. Thank you for loving us. We're such a mess. Where haven't we sinned? What haven't we done? Where haven't we fallen? We can't uphold ourselves for a minute, and we think we would come here and it's all about us. First, we have to be washed. First, we have to be cleansed to know at all what's been done to us, that we might even know what love looks like. And if that hasn't entered our hearts and that hasn't been embraced, then all our Christianity is for nothing. Help us, we're weak. And thank you for your steadfast love that endures forever. You are faithful. And thank you for the promise that where you are, Lord Jesus, we will be too. And that's certain. What a future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Our hope and prayer is you've been encouraged by today's program. If you would like to take advantage of many of the resources we have available on our website, might I suggest paying us a visit? agradio.org. Videos hosted by Pastor Chris, articles written by Pastor Chris, past radio programs are housed there as well. Again, agradio.org. Plus, it's a great place to give tax-deductible donations to the radio ministry, as it is through those donations that we're able to continue on this radio station. Again, agradio.org, or give us a call, 888-504-8805. Questions? Address them to questions@agradio.org. And don't forget, when you visit agradio.org, you'll find links to our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram accounts as well. Once again, here's Pastor Chris with a look ahead to tomorrow's program.
The very work of Jesus was to carry your sorrows. Did you know that? To carry your burdens on his back. To take that all upon him I mean, that's Isaiah 53. Surely he has borne our sicknesses and carried our sorrows, so that when these things come, our souls would not be thrown into a state of intense agitation and panic, that we would not be shaken up or confused so as to forget what he came to do.
He bore our troubles. John chapter 14, first 11 verses on tap tomorrow. Join us then for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.